Everybody ready? Come on, let's go.
The Rick Flair Show! Let's go! The Rick Flair Show! Let's go!
Hey, yo, what's up? Welcome to the show. My name's Rick Thorne. On this episode, I have the tattooed clown himself, Mr. Richie the Barber. He is the tattooed clown. You might have seen this guy on America's Got Talent. We're going to talk about why he's a tattooed clown, what motivated him, and what it's like every day to live like a tattooed clown. We're also going to talk about the help he does with the homelessness. Let's do this right now. Yo, what's up, dude? What are you doing?
What up?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. It looks cool in there.
It looks good, right?
Yeah, you look great.
Thanks, dude. I've been working out like you, getting buff.
Yeah.
I can't get too buff riding bikes though, dude, because if I do that, then that's going to like be weird.
Yeah, you'll fall. You'll fall easy.
Look crazy and shit. How you been, man? You been good?
I've been good, man.
Yeah?
How's life?
How's your day? Yeah, we're recording, right? Dude, we are recording right now. It's an amazing
live
technology. Yeah, man, it's crazy. I'm good though, bro. It was good to see you the other night at Comics and Chaos. You know, I'd crossed paths with you before back in the day, but we never really like talked. Do you remember that? Remember seeing each other on the street? Like,
yeah, man, absolutely. I mean, I was always just wasted, bro. So like, you know, of course you don't want to talk to no wasted guy. You know, I was always like by the Viper. I see you by the Viper, Sunset Boulevard, the Rainbow. I see you everywhere, you know?
Yeah, I'm just floating around. But you said you were out of your mind back then, but your life's much different now.
It's way different, way clear-minded. I mean, that show that, you know, I went to go see you and we hosted, that was amazing. That was my first time, like, actually remembering it and actually knowing what to do, what to not to do, and not all messed up, you know? So it was really cool. It was nice.
So how long have you been sober?
It's a little bit past 6 months, but, I mean, that's a big deal for me, you know? 6 months is, like, that's pretty good.
I mean, 6 months is good for anybody, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, as far as like just being able to think clearer for sure. I mean, what was it that got you to the point where you were like, all right, dude, I need to change my life. What happened? Something always has to happen, right? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. I mean, like, you know, like I started going out all the time and it escalated even more with just people. Like every time I went out, people were just fighting and I don't really want to be around that, like fighting and stuff like that. And just, everybody was asking me for, you know, hey, man, let's collaborate this. Let's do this. Or asking just like being like a counselor kind of thing. They were just telling me all the problems and stuff. And it got really dark. You know, a lot of people were just like getting hurt and it just got really bad with that. And on top of that, I can't really hold a relationship. I was just, you know, showing up too late to work. Just kind of bad, you know, and then starting doing the, you know, the good old well, it's not good, but you know, the white stuff, you know, doing
got it.
It's just horrible. You know, it was just escalating to worse and worse things. So I was like, I got to stop this, you know, change my life around.
So when you would go out, do people, you know, everyone listening, you are the tattooed clown. I don't know any other tattooed clown. Are there other tattooed clowns?
No.
You're the only one.
I'm the only tattooed clown. Yeah.
Ever.
I mean,
maybe back in the day.
Trollo Mexican guys, you know, like with the little, you know, like the right. Prison, some of those guys are clowns, you know.
Right. Well, yeah, the reason I brought it, you know, obviously I'm going to bring it up because I'm going to talk about it because I think a lot of people want to know what it's like to be you on a daily basis when you go out into the world. How do people perceive you? Like you said, people want to fight you. Did people want to fight you because you were a tattooed clown?
No, nobody wanted to fight me. It's just people around were fighting a lot.
Got it.
I didn't want to be associated with that. And you know, like you yourself, you know, like, you know, you're all about business and the brand. And I don't want people to be like, oh, that's Richie with those hoodlums that fight all the time. And, you know, it's just not good. Or just being drunk every night, you know?
Right.
So I just want to change the whole thing with that. But yeah, I mean, like everybody's like, hey, tattoo clown, tripping out, you know?
I mean, the first response to a lot of people is going to be major shock factor, right? Do you feel that from a lot of people?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just being, listen, man. I don't mean that. I'm gonna say this. you're gonna be like, dude, you're a dick. I'm not trying to clown on you, bro. I'm just saying. No, I'm just saying, like what's it like? Like, I know what it's like to have a tattooed head, and people always like, you know, they think I'm in a gang, or they think they get real tense and stuff, because tattoos tend to do that to people, especially your head, you know. Like, come on, yeah, you know what I mean?
That looks cool, man. Yeah.
But the face is a whole nother, like, you know.
I mean, there's actual phobias of people just like freaking out, you know, like, you know, the clownophobia or something like that. They freak out about, you know, clowns and the movies and stuff like that. And I got like seconds to really change their perspective in life to be like, whoa, I'm cool. I'm not out to scare anybody. A lot of people are like, hey, scare my baby. I'm like, you're horrible. Why do you want me to scare your baby? You
know? Damn. Scare my kids. Terrorist.
Yeah. I don't want to scare no kids, man.
Yeah, well, without a doubt. You said that people get freaked out about clowns. You were on that. What is it? It was America's Got Talent. Is that what it was?
Yeah, man. It was that. Simon was scared of that. That was crazy.
I saw that video. He was terrified.
I was scared. I was the most scared show ever. 3,000 people. I never performed in front of 3,000 people before. So that was scary.
How did that come about? Did you just try out, or did they hit you up?
I did a commercial. They had a commercial for the show in downtown LA at the Staples Center. So I got hit up to do this commercial to like juggle and do clown stuff right in the front. So, you know, when they had break and stuff, they had those tents, and I was like, oh, what's up with these guys? I want to talk to the producers and stuff. So I was going, hey, well, how's it going? You know, honking the horn and shit. And then, hey, how do you get in here? How do you audition? And he goes, you want to audition? I was like, yeah, how do I audition? I can get up there. I can do some clown stuff. And he gets on the mic or the thing. He's like, hey, we got a Richard Barber clown. Can we get him to audition? So they put me like almost front of the line. Hey, I made it to audition. It was cool.
That's awesome, dude. And let everybody know, what was your act? What did you do?
Well, I was just clowning around, and I had this parody song called Every Day I'm Juggling, like, you know, Rick Ross, Every Day I'm Hustling.
Yeah.
So we had to switch the music around to have it on national TV just slightly. But yeah, it's like Every Day I'm Juggling, Every Day I'm Juggling. It's just a little rap song.
did you, that's awesome, dude. Did you learn how to juggle after the fact, or were you like, I just want to get into it. Like, were you always fascinated with clowns as a kid? Like, what was the motivation?
Yeah. Like, when I was young, I was always imaginary and stuff like that. And my grandpa, he raised me pretty good. And I was always dressed up like Zorro 1 week, Ninja Turtles the next week when I was a kid, you know, Ghostbusters. I was always like transforming myself into like characters. I was playing outside all the time. And then I went to the circus and I saw a clown, and it just kind of, I liked the way that he was just didn't care. He was witty, and he was falling and making people laugh. And I liked that, the fact that he was just loud. So that stuck with me. And then, you know, everybody's like, you can't be a clown, you know, don't be a clown. So I kind of hid it in the closet a little bit. And then when I went to LA, it just kind of like formed over time. The obsession just came more and more, because I was just like, I learned how to juggle. And then, you know, I was doing like, you know, performing like little magic tricks and stuff like that, and just vaudeville stuff. And then I just started clowning more and more. And then I mean, obviously the tattoos came later. So I just, little by little, you know, the obsession just began more and more.
So you were a closet clown.
I was a closet clown.
Is that a thing? Is that a thing?
I guess it is. I came out of the clown closet. I'm here.
Yo, homie's in the closet with the clowns, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But there are scary clowns. What's up with John Wayne Gacy?
Yo, that's the most disrespectful comment I get. And I'm like,
do people say that to you?
I get so offended, bro. I'm like, yo, like, you're calling me a serial killer? That's so messed up. Like, come on. Really? Like, that's like the worst thing, because obviously I don't want to kill anybody, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like saying that is just, what if someone said that to you? Oh, you look like Richard Ramirez, man. Like, how did you, or Dahmer. You look like Dahmer, bro. How'd you feel if someone said
I'm better
like
looking than Dahmer, man? Come on. I think he gave clowns a bad name, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it really happened.
Cover that song. You give clowns a bad name.
Yeah.
Just kidding. No, but yeah, the association, I think, do you think that because of things like that, and because of how repulsive that person was, it gives the image of a clown like a bad thing.
Yeah.
You think that?
I don't like bad clowns, man. That's horrible, man. A killer, living killer clown? That's messed up.
What about the dudes that dress up as clowns and scare people? Have you seen those videos?
That happened, and I was downtown LA, and I had the cops come over, like, you know, the local cops saying, hey, Richie, we're looking out for you. We'll make sure that you're okay. I was like, what? Now I'm going to be more scared, you know, because, like, they were actually, the clowns were scaring people, and then people were beating up clowns.
So I know.
The community came around, like, yo, we got your back, blah, blah. And I was a little scrawny little kid back then. I was scrawny, dude. And this is right before Trump got president, you know? Okay. So, I was kind of glad that the election came, because that news went away. The clown stuff went away.
Yeah, it was nuts, because we were watching those videos and we were like, dude, like, I'm surprised that a lot of those guys that were scaring those people, you know, didn't get beat down for that. Because, you know, it's like, but a lot, that's what started to happen, right? So,
yeah, they're beating up clowns, man. I was getting a little scared. I was seeing the train around town. I was like, someone would beat me up in here.
Dude, I'm a good clown, dude. What was it though? What was that point where you're like, you know, I did a little bit of research on you. You used to work in a tattoo shop.
Yeah, I was on Melrose and Poinsettia back in the days, and I was working at Floyd's at the barbershop. And I would, you know, walk past to 7-Eleven. I would see this guy named Adam, and you know, we'd talk, and then every day, and he's like, hey, let me tattoo you. So he tattooed me. We became friends, you know, hanging out in the tattoo shop after work. I was hanging out there every night, every day, you know. And then they had this back area, and I visualized, I'm like, what if I cut hair back there, you know? So yeah. I asked him, and he's like, no one's ever, I don't know if it's illegal or anything. We'll check it out. So we were the first tattoo barbershop back in the days, like 2009, I think.
So you had both. You had the barbershop and the tattoo shop in the same spot.
It wasn't mine. No, I worked inside of a tattoo shop.
Got it. Got it.
The owner is the one who tattooed the game. His LA on the game. Okay. Yeah, that was like he's tattooing all these famous like rappers and stuff back then. So we were having fun back then, you know?
Absolutely. Cool. Yeah. That's cool. So what was it like? Were you just hanging out one night and you're like, you know, because a lot of times people say, you get one tattoo, you can win another one. And then you're like, and I'm like, yeah, right. And then you just start to, everybody's kind of thing about tattooing is their own trip. You know what I mean? Is your own personal thing about how you feel about yourself or how you want to look or perceive or when you get tattooed on you. So what I'm asking you is, what was it like where you were like, because, you know, look, let's just be real. Tattooing the face is the boldest you could do. All right. Yeah. It doesn't get any bolder. Like you can get it on your arm, your leg, whatever, but the face is like, there's this, you know, it's bold. So what was it where you said, you know what? I got one tattoo. I'm going to do my whole face. Or was it like a little bit here and then a little bit there and a little bit there? Or was it just like, let's just do it all?
No, it was all like, can you see pretty good? Like, so I saw the biggest ones were like the roses right here. So
yeah.
And then I got roses on my forehead. So I kind of went around the face more.
Right.
And then I had all these little, like, I call them like little lucky charms. Like, you know, I had like, you know, like a bar pull, the hearts, little stuff around the eyes. And then one day I wanted a smile tattoo. Oh, no. It was the nose. I got the nose. I was like, let me get a red nose. And then my girlfriend at the time was like, why do your nose tattoo? Why don't you just color with marker or something? I'm like, no. Let's get a red nose. So I did a red nose, and then I got these little spots, little confetti spots. She tattooed me. And then the big, big one was the smile. When I got a smile, I was like, okay, it's looking more and more like a, you know, clown and stuff, but it was just not like, it was not full yet, you know?
Then but was that, well, how long did that take though? Did you just do that like all at once?
It was a gradual step, like just like over time, you know? Like,
right.
It was just like years and years of just like, you know, getting more tattoos on the face, you know?
Do you regret it? I'm going to ask you a stupid, I'm going to ask you a question a lot of people ask you, probably on the street. Do you regret it? Do you regret it?
No. If I regret it, I wouldn't be alive with you. I wouldn't go outside. Probably I would cut my hair off. I don't know. I'd probably laser. There's probably tons of people. I have one guy that said he'll laser off for free and he'll pay me like $100,000 or something like that. Just for like the promotion, just to laser my whole face off or whatever. I'm like, get out of your mind. You know, he's like, it would be the best clout. It'd be the, you know, you'd be, you'd be better that way. I'm like, no, I'm not lasering my face off.
Crazy. Wow, that's crazy. Some but people as, do that. Some people like, do that.
Yeah, but like you, just like you, your whole, you're a lifestyle. It's like you're a BMX, everything's your lifestyle. So my lifestyle is like clown, and this is what I do. So like, I don't regret what I do because I love just being who I am, you know? I love performing. I love clowning. I love doing all that stuff, cutting hair, you know, traveling around the world. I just love who I am. So I definitely don't regret it.
That's awesome. That's great. Cause you got to love who you are. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But, you know, and people, but I'm sure you get like, what's it like flying in a plane? Are people tense around you, or is it a conversation? Do you meet a lot of cool people? Like they're curious.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that bad as you think it is. It's not like I don't get like mobbed or anything. It's just,
no, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying like, I remember I was on a plane one time and I was asleep and some little old lady started rubbing my neck. And she was like, I always liked boys with tattoos. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, 30 years ago, we might have dated or something. But, you know, because they get, you know, it's not everybody gets tattoos. So it's always a thing where people, you know,
dude, you're funny.
You know, are they get excited? You know, I was just like, she was right my neck. I was like, what's going on, lady? Get off me.
Don't touch me, man.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, man. You're so funny, bro. I love your shows, man.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, that show was rad, man.
I'm working on it, bro. You know, comedy's a good thing and like gets better and better. It's like, okay, it's like take juggling. You juggle, right? So The more you do it, the better you get. And then you start to juggle different things. What other stuff do you do? What other stuff does clowns do besides juggling? I always think of juggling. Do you ride a unicycle? Can you ride a unicycle?
Yeah, I have to. Yeah.
Oh, can you juggle and do a unicycle together?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What? Yeah. Did you go to clown school?
No, I learned on my own. I saw, you know, I just looked up stuff and I was like, I got to do this. And I looked up videos and I just practice. You know, the unicycle was definitely hard. I nutted it a lot. You know, like it hurts. It definitely hurts when you fall on the unicycle.
I bet.
It's so cool though. Like I'm like, I got it. I'm a clown. You can't like look like a clown, not, you know, do clown stuff, you know?
Do you do magic tricks too?
I do like funny magic tricks. Like I clown on people where it's just I mess up on purpose.
Or I'm, got it. You know,
just trick decks, trick cards, disappearing things, but it's funny, you know. But I'm trying to get better and better at it, you know.
There is such a thing as a clown school, right?
Yes, there is. Yeah, definitely there is, and it's I think there's one in San Francisco. There's one in there's a bunch, but I feel like that. I mean, I don't have time to go to clown college. I just want to do my own stuff.
No, I get it. I'm just curious about it because I don't know anything about it, and I don't think many of my listeners do. And You know, I think it's just kind of cool. It's kind of cool, you know, the what you want to be in life and what you want to do, and you seem super confident and bold about, you know, what you're doing. Because, you know, a lot of times people used to tell me like, oh, you're tattooed. Heavily tattooed people feel a certain way about themselves, or their self-esteem or their self-image or whatever. And I kind of agreed to that at the time because I have worked on myself quite a bit and to get the confidence that I have that I didn't always have. And that maybe parts of me are trying to cover up my body, that there is some shame still in me that I'm trying to figure out, you know what I mean? And trying to cover my body up. And that's why I ask other people that are heavily tattooed, do you feel that way about yourself, especially, you know, the level of your face? You know what I'm saying? Do you feel any about that with yourself? Or are you confident with yourself, or do you feel like you're covering yourself up?
This is a good question. I've never got that question. That's great. People ask me not to, like, why did you do that? You look so good back in the days. I love the art. I love tattoos. I didn't really think about I'm covering my who I am, but I guess it is in a way. You're transforming yourself into just totally different, the different character, different person. Yeah. So I mean, I'm not hiding anything. Like, you know, like I don't think I'm hiding anything. You know.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know for me, like growing up, like it took me a long time. I wasn't the person I am now as a kid.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to like get the confidence, and I got all of that through bike riding. But then there was still this kind of like guilt, shameful thing inside of me that the way, you know, maybe the way, and I'm not harping or crying about the past by any means, but you know, the things about my life that had happened to me or that had scarred me. And that I felt like I was always trying to like, you know, cause I was kind of fat when I was a kid.
You were?
Yeah, but it was a short period of time, and I realized, like, this is, I'm just rambling, but like, I was stuffing pain by eating and all this study, all this self, like, inventory I did on myself. And I was like, always trying to cover myself up, like wearing bigger stuff and this and that. And I still kind of do that to this day, but I'm super confident and super positive, but it's a daily reminder that I have to remind myself, you know? And for me, I tattooed a bunch of reminders on my body so I could, things that I wanted to be better at. And so that's why I'm asking you, like, as a clown, you are your other tattoos on your body clown related too, on your arms and your hands? And absolutely. Is everything a clown theme?
No, a lot of it's, well, my left arm is Halloween, like all Halloween stuff, because I just love Halloween. So, and then the right is a mixture of Halloween, like bands and barbering and stuff like that. And I'm an artist, so I do. So I got like my little characters right here. So just stuff like that. Cool. The clown stuff's all like on my legs. I got all these different clowns. I'm gonna get more clowns that I'm inspired by, you know. Bozo, Ron McDonald, and stuff like that. I was thinking about getting Steve-O right here with a little clown nose, because I cut Steve-O's hair, and he's been helping me out a lot being sober and stuff. And he's a great guy, man. That guy's cool. So I was thinking about getting Steve-O. You know,
did right Steve-O go to clown school too? I always heard that. Did he?
Yeah, he was the only one, and Jackass actually went to graduate college.
So he's a great dude. I like him a lot. His comedy's great. Everything he does is great. His podcast. He's a cool dude. He's definitely that's cool though. You're cool with him because he's been sober for a long time.
Dude, he's a great guy, man. He's so awesome. He's so cool. Like I told him when I was gonna do it, this step, he's like, anything you need, I'm here for you. And we just talked about the whole thing, you know. He's like, if you gotta call me, I'm here for you, bro. And he'd call me late at night sometimes too, like, and say, hey, you all right, bro? You all right? I know you're doing something, you know, are you good? You know, just, you're okay, you got this. And he's a great guy, man. You know,
that's awesome.
Doing way better things now than being all messed up, you know. So I saw that and I want to do the same thing, you know.
Well, you're doing it. That's awesome. Are you part of the Insane Clown Posse?
No, I'm not.
I'm saying that's a big a lot of people are part of the Juggalos, right? There's a pretty big thing. Is it Steve-O Juggalo? He is, right?
He's a Juggalo. Yeah, he did the
Juggalo. He is, right? Am I right about that?
Yeah.
But you're not part of that? Like part of the Juggalo scene, not the Insane Clown Posse, but part of the, I always associate those two together, but are you part of the Juggalo scene too? Or is that your world? Or
I haven't got into it, but they were talking about me on No Jumper. It was one of the members from, ICP and Adam, they were talking about, you know, this tattoo clown, da, da, da. And we haven't met yet. My friends know, like, you know, mutual friends know ICP. So I think one day I'll probably end up meeting those guys and probably clown around or something, you know.
No, I love how you can, it's so funny when you say clown around because you're a clown.
Yeah,
you quit clowning, bro. Like, why are you trying to clown on me?
Yeah,
do you ever use that with people? Do you ever do that where someone says something, oh, who are you trying to clown? And they turn around, they're like, ah, this guy. I would use that all the time if I was you.
I do. I got,
oh, yeah, I'm sure you do.
Yeah, clown life tattoos like a Tupac on my stomach.
You got Tupac on your stomach?
No, like clown life, you know. It's just like,
oh, okay. I got you.
It's funny. So,
have you ever thought about joining the circus?
I've been in little circuses, like not big ones, but little ones.
Which ones?
What was it? I joined one in Russia for a little bit. The freak show. I've more like freak show stuff. Freak show, that's kind of circus, you know. I was in the Venice Beach freak show.
Is the circus still like a big thing, or did like Cirque du Soleil take over? And
it's more, it's way different. They don't have animals and stuff like that, you know, animal cruelty. It's just more like a storyline, a play, but it's amazing. It's amazing. Like all the stuff they do, you know, it's like more theatrical, like, you know, a lot of that stuff, you know, a lot of costumes, it's a whole storyline that they do now.
That's awesome. You know, the dude that the first guy that supposedly did a backflip on a BMX bike, and Jose Yanez, I think that's how you say his last name, as a kid, he's the dude that did the backflip in the movie Rad.
Oh, wow.
And he became famous for that. And then I remember as a kid growing up, you know, I was, you know, in the magazines and stuff, just looking, I wasn't in the magazines, but I was looking through the magazines and just studying all the riders. And I remember he joined the circus to do like flips. And then last to do backflips on a bike. And that's when it's super new. But I went to the Cirque du Soleil thing in San Diego. And like what they're doing now is like insane, dude. It's like, have you ever been to one of those? It's like next level. They had like bike riding on this one, and the level of riding they do nightly is insane, dude. I was like, what? I suck. These guys. No.
The same way when I go, because I'm like, I'm not good. Those guys. Those guys are good, man.
Dude, yeah. Yeah, that's a whole nother kind of level of circus, like the acrobatics and stuff, right?
Yeah, that's like, that's crazy. You got to be late for that one.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, man, it's like, and so you're talking about being so, I'm jumping all over the place, but you're talking about being sober, and how's your life changed since then? Have more opportunities opened up for you?
Dude, Rick, like, it's just right now is a spiral effect. It's so beautiful. It's so positive, peaceful. Like, there's so many people just coming. I'm doing a lot of podcasts, tons of podcasts.
Cool.
And people are even asking me, like, hey, like straight out, like, I'm doing this tattoo show in June 10th, 11th, and 12th, Seaside. I'm hosting it. And
awesome.
The owner said, hey, look, you know, we saw you back in the days, and, you know, we love who you are now, and we wouldn't have worked with you back then. There's no way we worked with you. And we're so happy that you're on a good path, and you're staying clean, and you're amazing now. You're working out. And that's why I work out, is to substitute of like going out or whatever. I work out till I'm sore, and then I go home. That's what helped me not go to the bars, you know?
Yeah. But, well, I see on your Instagram that you're like working out pretty, like, you know, religiously, like, I mean,
yeah,
every day, like getting it right.
Yeah, man. It's just, it helps me. It feels so good to do that and feel productive. And I just feel like more like active and alive, you know, not sluggish.
Yeah. You know? Well, the more, yeah, absolutely, man, because you take care of your body, you know, and then you're going to be able to like perform better and be, you know, that's cool though. The opportunities to open up for you. You should do your own podcast, dude. You ever thought about doing that?
Yeah, man. Like, I'm doing my new album right now.
An album? You play music?
Yeah, I got punk band stuff. So they're out in Temecula. My drummer has a whole studio. And
what band? Wait, I didn't know you're a punk band. What's it called?
It's just me.
It's Richie? Richie the Barber? Is that it?
Yeah, this is with the band. It's pretty cool.
Dick, dude, how long have you been playing music?
Since I was high school.
Have you played any shows recently, or you got any shows coming up?
We're going to play at Seaside. That's the only one we got so far. The tattoo convention in June. So I'm playing the whole weekend.
What's that event called?
It's called Seaside Tattoo Convention. Seaside Tattoo Show. It's cool. I post on my Instagram all the flyer and stuff.
Is that at the Ventura Fairgrounds right there?
Yeah,
yeah, Ventura. Yeah. Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah. Oh, I had to come check you out. Dude, I didn't know you're in a band. Send me some music, bro. What's it? Do you do any clown stuff in your band, or you keep it separate? Or do you do stuff in between your songs? Yeah. Like,
Yeah, that's what you do.
You kind of incorporate everything.
So, like, I'm more like my style is more punk rock and stuff. Like, but like we have like, it's like metal, punk rock. We even have like poppy songs too. We just made like this Blink-182 kind of poppy song. It's funny, dude.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, yeah.
Different genres of music, but like it's more like, you know, punk and metal mixed together. Great musicians. They're good. You know, like they're really good. Like crazy guitar players, you know.
How long you guys been together?
We just formed this one this year. Like we got new members and everything, and we're doing it right. And we're just I did a music video with Foster the People, Worst Nights. Have you seen that?
I haven't.
Best music video I ever did. But
What's the music video with again? Who's it with?
Foster the People, Worst Nights.
Okay, yeah, no, I haven't seen it. I gotta check it out.
I'm in the whole video. It's like it's a thing where they cover my face into regular skin tone, and it starts melting off. It's a whole storyline, like me becoming. I have a secret, and I'm working this corporate job, and it melts off, and they find out that my face is melting. I'm hiding a secret, and then towards the end, I'm who I am. I love being me.
Cool.
Pretty cool. Yeah. But we're doing that song like hardcore metal. Like just,
oh
like,
wow. Oh, yeah, that's like, cool. Yeah.
So I'm gonna cover that song. It'll be pretty dope.
That's awesome, dude. I had no idea you played music, dude. I think that's amazing. That you're multitasking, that you're doing a lot of different things. Have you thought about stand-up comedy? Is that something you do too? Do you do any of that kind of stuff?
Dude, like I wanna get into it. I'm all over the place. I never done it. So like I'm trying to do it. I got stories, but like I'm not like you know, it's got this whole form to it, right? Like, you know,
yeah, Well, it's different. Like stand-up comedy, what I've learned is like jokes between me and you, because we have a relationship as friends, would be maybe, would be funny. Like you laugh at like stuff that like really isn't funny, but we're friends because we have a history. But it's like when you get in front of a group of people that don't know you, have zero history with, those jokes aren't so funny. You're like, so you have to learn, you learn how to tell the same joke in a different way to the audience can relate to it, because our relationship is already, it's already established as friends or as acquaintances or whatever, but to a total stranger, it's not. So, you know, and you know how you look, I've been to so many open mics to learn how to do comedy, and just practice is like anything. It's like juggling, bro, like riding your unicycle, me riding a BMX, whatever. You do it, you fall, you get up, you do it again, you do it, and you just keep going, you know what I mean? You just keep going back and shit. And then you figure it out. You're like, oh, I need to pace this way. I need to laugh more. If I'm having fun, they're having fun. You know what I'm saying? And like some people go to these open mics and they think they're funny, but they're just straight up mean. It's not funny. It's like there's a way to be funny and mean, but not just mean. You know, it's not mean. It's like it's a joke. It's a way to tell a joke and not be mean. Does that make sense? And the only way you learn it is by going to an open mic and just saying, all right, I'm doing this. Like, let's do it. And then you just learn. You know what I mean? Like, I
definitely want to go to your rainbow one. That seems so rad.
That one's going to be May 15th. That would be great. I would be stoked, because if that works, I'll get it monthly. And
I want to check that out, man. I love it.
Yeah, dude. But I'm telling you, man, you should do it. I mean, you got a lot of different layers, and I think people would want to watch you just, you know, for all the, you know, for, I think a lot of people are probably fascinated by you too, obviously, because you're the freaking tattooed clown.
You know what I like is when I go on stage, and it's just the simpleness of just like the suitcase, and you don't talk, you just go up, you know, cause when you go on, they say next guest is so-and-so, and then they go, hey, well, how's it going, everybody? Right. Sometimes I'll just go up like creepy, just walk up, put the suitcase down, look around, and like, what's in the suitcase? And I just open it and I look in there. You can't see what's in there, you know? And
yeah.
I honk the horn, everybody's laughing, you know?
So like, curious.
Or it'd be funny if I don't pull anything out of the suitcase and then just like tell jokes. And they're like, what was this? I don't know.
There's nothing in it, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, I think it's cool. I mean, in your to back up for a second though, in your punk band, you dress the same way.
No, I have way different outfits.
Like, oh, you do?
Yeah, like well, I mean, similar, like stripes, polka dots, plaid. I mix and match. I have these big Nike Jordan clown shoes. They're like Jays, and I got a song called "Clowning in My Jordans." So I wear those. I wear big clown shoes. It's a messy show. Confetti, you know, we throw like rubber chickens everywhere, cupcakes, you know, it's a crazy show. I get wild, you know?
So you're like Gore meets G.G. Allen. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
G.G. Allen's like, he's crazy.
G.G. Allen's like, dude,
like confetti.
Woo, that was heavy. Yeah. You're like the Addicts meet Gore.
I love the Addicts. Exactly.
Addicts are good, bro. It's kind of like a lot of confetti going on, you know?
Yeah. Like the Addicts, you know, we have fun and everything, you know?
Yeah.
It's great, you know? But I feel better fronting, and I go wild, you know, instead of just playing behind a guitar, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like a lot cooler that way.
That's awesome. And so writing songs, is that you or the band, or do you write the songs yourself? I see your guitar in the background right there. So you play guitar?
I got that. I got a banjo. I play banjo.
Okay.
I got acoustic songs, banjo. I got a banjo album. I got piano one. That's real dark though. The piano album is pretty dark. But like this one, yeah, it's a mixture. Like I write the lyrics and the rhythm, but then the band, they do all the crazy, like the crazy solos and the drummer is like double bass. He's nuts. He's crazy, bro. I don't want to do all that stuff. Yeah, so we write it together. We, you know, as a band, it's good.
That is good. I'm going to shift gears for a second. Something I wanted to ask you earlier. I just came to me, you know, like a lot of times people say to me, like, what does your mom think?
Yeah.
Right. My mom's super cool. She's supportive of everything that I do. She's never been like, you know, oh, don't do that. Don't ride bikes. Don't get tattooed. She's always been super supportive of me. So I wanted to ask you, what do your parents think? Are your parents like, cool? Are they weird about it, or are they supportive? What is it like?
Dude, I mean, obviously in the beginning, like, my mom's like, "What, Richard, what are you doing? Like, why are you tattooing all, you know, crazy?" I started getting all these tattoos and everything. I was 17, just escalated. I mean, when I did the face, the blue, the complete blue, she was like, "Whoa, this is intense." But she saw who I became and like the message that I kind of went with the clown. Like, I want to bring joy. I want to be happiness. I want to have just a different perspective in life, you know? So she sees me doing this and she says, my son is loving what he does. He's not hurting anybody. I'm not doing crazy drugs. I'm not going to prison. And she sees everything I'm doing. And the support of my family is amazing. Like, if I didn't have the support of my family, it would be, I don't know. It'd be devastating, you know, but my brothers, they love me. We're just a good bond. We stick together, you know, it's really good.
That's amazing to hear. That's great. I love it. Yeah. And you do a lot of good stuff. You do a lot of stuff with the homelessness.
Yeah, man. I just got in this, my buddy Tyler, I've been working out with him, and that's what I'm saying. Like, all these amazing opportunities are just coming around when I stopped all that fog, the drinking fog and all that stuff. Like, now everything's just opening up. This guy, Tyler, asked me, "Hey, I got this, this nonprofit organization called, Operation Zero Hour." And I was like, "Really?" And he's like, "Yeah, we go to Skid Row. And we help the homeless veterans and feed 300, you know, homeless people right there in the heart of downtown. We're helping people out." And I was like, "Oh, that's pretty cool." And I come from a military family, even though I'm all tattooed, I can't sign up or anything, but I help out with, you know, with the veterans and the military and all stuff like that. Like this weekend, we're feeding my brother's troops. They have 100 troops. We're feeding them at the base, and we're doing a whole event. We do that once a month. My mom helps out. My mom's very involved with, you know, the military and stuff like that, helping her free services out and everything like that. It's really cool that she does that. But Tyler wanted me to do it, so I went out there, and I felt good doing it. It feels good helping people out. And he said, "Hey, would you want to be the face of this, or, you know, this company and stuff?" And I was like, "I don't know what that is. Am I ready for that? You know, can you help me out, you know?" And his partner died like 3 years ago. So he's been trying to find another partner, and it's been 3 years. And now he's like, "Yo, I think you'd be a good fit because you're very outgoing and you speak to people differently, and they come up to you." So I think it's a good idea. And I was like, "Yeah, man, let's do it." So we do it every Sunday at 5:30 Sunday at, you know, Skid Row. We've been feeding people. It's been good.
Yeah. What's that been like? I mean, is people seem to be pretty grateful for what you're doing for them, or?
Yeah, everybody, they're very nice. You know, they're respectable. They're really, you know, they're not mean. They line up and they got jokes. And when they see a clown, they want to clown the clown. So these guys are clowning me. And then we got like a little stage back behind us. So we see them doing like, you know, open mic and stuff, singing songs. It's a cool thing, you know, even though right now it's hard times for them to do that. It's beautiful because they're getting what they can get out, you know, they're from their heart, you know, they're singing songs, poetry, telling stories, they're going up there, and everybody's been respectful. Everybody's been real nice. And we have all these people helping out, you know, like, just, we're making street dogs, tacos. One time we did pasta. I was doing, cause I'm Italian, so I was doing a little pasta.
Awesome. Yeah. Oh wait, so so you would technically be an Italian clown.
I'm an Italian clown.
An Italian clown, Tony. Huh? You want to, hey, get out, get the, you know what I mean? That's cool. You do that, man. I admire you for that. I think that's great. I think it's always good to give back and to help people in need. And you're right, dude, when you sober up and you aren't doing, you know, bad things. See, me, I've never, I've said this several times on different podcasts and interviews. I've never had a problem with drinking. I've never done any drugs. That's and amazing. Yeah. And so, you know, in my lifetime, you know, I've just riding was it for me. I wanted to get out. So I always liked the stories of, like, because I relate in a way to where, like, I was dealing with a lot, learning how to like myself, this, that, and the other, and learn how to, you know, through bike riding made me feel good. And that's what helped me, you know what I mean? So I feel like I always relate to, like, people that sobered up, from drugs and alcohol to change their life, because I did the same thing, but I didn't have a problem with the substances. It was more me learning to like myself. Do you know what I'm saying? And so I relate to you. And I think that that's great that like you're a survivor. I always say like you're people like you and other people that are sober and change their life are survivors. Do you ever feel like that? Like you survived?
Yeah, man.
You've been through it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it definitely feels like that. It's intense. It's intense, man. It's definitely it's a problem, you know, and then we recognize it. It's a beautiful thing to like, you know, go on that and pass through that, you know, because we all have journeys and obstacles, and this is definitely an obstacle that I, you know, that I went over. So it's good. I just got to stay strong. Willpower, man. It's a lot of willpower, you know, it's good.
Yeah. Discipline.
Definitely discipline. And I think that just staying busy. And also it's hard. It was hard for me to say no. I mean, you know, you got your friends, people, but it's time when you're really fed up with everything and then you take action, it's no turning back, you know? It's like,
yeah,
you know, now I'm getting a whole new amazing positive friends. It's so awesome, you know, getting all those people, you know, on the same page, because, you know, good energy, man.
Do you think it's also like good energy, but do you also think maybe it's vibrations? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like the vibration you send out is what you're going to get back.
I absolutely believe that, because when I was in the barbershop, when I opened that bottle for people giving out shots, I was giving shots out to people, you know, get the craziest, like energy, negative energy when I do that, you know, but when I changed my lifestyle, I got all this amazing positive energy. It's a vibrational frequency just going, you know, and like attracts like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it took me a long time to figure that out. It took me a long time to figure out that, like, wait, so if I think negative, I'm not going to get a positive result. You know what I mean? Like positive and negativity can't occupy the same space. It doesn't exist. It will never exist. So I believe that what you think and say is what you put in the universe and what you get back. And by you saying all these, you know, when you say I'm sober, it hears your mind, you're sober. It keeps you on track. You're not feeling sorry for yourself. You're not like the downward spiral, the pity party and all that kind of stuff.
No, right? Man. Yeah.
Right. Did you ever do that before? Is that what led to that? All that partying? Was that it? Did you feel like that?
I felt it was a crazy, it was all negative people around me. And I just was, I had to get out of there. I was like fighting to get out of situations, bad situations. And now when I see it, I'm like, thank God I'm not in this situation no more. And I'm doing way better things. I'm creating. I'd rather go home and paint. Like I got paintings right here. I do a lot of artwork and stuff like that. So
oh, sick. You paint too. That's great. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'd rather create and do it like you, like you're writing and staying active. I'd rather do that than just be around these people that are like, you know, almost suicidal or fighting or craziness, you know, just, I don't want to be around that ever again, you know?
Absolutely. And you know what, dude, life is just too short. I mean, none of us have all the time in the world. Life goes by so fast. And then, you know, you get one shot, dude. You know what I mean? So like, might as well, everybody's got to figure out their path. You know what I mean? And it sounds like that's what you've done, and you've created your own way, and you're bold and confident with being a clown. And I'm just, you know what I mean though? I think it's cool. I think, you know, I know, I don't know everybody's reasons for getting why they do what they do. I've learned a lot about you in this interview, and it's cool. I get where you're coming from. I relate to you in a lot of ways, becoming your own person, being happy with yourself, creating your own world, being comfortable with who you are. And, I think that's cool. I didn't know you really up until this interview, right? No, I didn't really. No,
where I got, guys, me and Rick never, this is the most I've ever talked to you.
Absolutely. Know? Besides, hey, what's up? Hey, what's up? Shoot a photo. Hey, sick. No way, bro.
When I saw you, I mean, right when I saw you, you gave me the biggest smile, and I gave you the biggest smile. And it was like, you know, that interaction right there, you just know, like, okay, this is cool, you know, like that's the energy that we're giving off, you know, smiles. Absolutely. You know, that's all good. I think that, you know, the big thing with what helped me with to stay sober was accountability of people, you know, like, or because I don't want to let all these other people down, you know, and I think that's helped me out a lot. Like, you know, that'd be the worst thing is like, what, you know, if I relapse, like, man, I looked up to you now, and now this, you know, now you're back at, you know what I mean? So I think that the people helped me out a lot. people.
Yeah.
You know, and talking about it. Cause we're not alone, man. We're all in this together, you know? And if we stick together and help each other out, then it's way more powerful than just being by yourself. And I feel like a lot of people they feel alone when they start something new. They're scared because they're getting out of their comfort zone and they're so used to what they've done. But when you break through that and you get new friends, and it's a positive way, it's a whole totally different life, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. You know what's crazy I could relate to? I just thought of this when you were talking. It's like riding. I compare everything in my life back to riding that I do, because I've learned how all these skills through riding, the confidence to do all this other stuff, and I always compare it. And what you just said makes a lot of sense, because when I'm riding, and if I'm riding with some, you know, dudes that are downers and like negative and all they do is just sit and talk, and then I don't got no time for that, man. Like, I'm there to ride and have fun and like not judge and like be, you know, show your personality and have a good time and not be, you know, so like, I don't know, just like with these walls and your own little scene and you're all just taking jabs and stuff and you're not, you know what I mean? I don't want to be part of that. I want to show up and ride and have fun and stoke people out, and they stoke me out, and that's it. You know what I mean? Yeah, that was a good session. Those are the type of people I like to surround with. So I know what you're saying. If you're always around people that are partying and negative and stuff, well, you are who you hang out with.
Dude,
you know what I mean?
So true. And your personality, man, like the way you are is just like, you're, who wouldn't want to hang out with Rick Thorne, man? You're like, let's go.
My kids don't. Oh, whatever, dude. Yeah, Slayer, you're cool.
How many kids you got?
I got two.
Oh yeah, congratulations, man.
Yeah, awesome. No, we're super close, but you know, they're growing up. They're teenagers, and they're becoming their own person. And we're super close family. It's all good. It's all natural. It's all part of the process. But I'm just joking. My kids love me, but yeah, it's about their friends now, and I get that, and it's okay. You know. Man.
Yeah. I got 16.
You got a what?
I got a 16-year-old, and she don't want to hang out, man. So it's hard, dude.
Oh, you have a I didn't know you had a kid too. Oh, yeah, you have a 16-year-old. Okay.
But like, she has a boy.
You started young then, huh? How old were you?
I was 2021 when I, you know, back in the day. Yeah.
Do you guys get along or?
Yeah, I mean, we're totally cool. It's just, you know, she's opposite of me. Of course, you know, she's introvert, and I'm like, hey, how's it going? I want to talk to everybody. She doesn't want to do all that, so it's like. It's hard. You know, when we go to the mall, she's like, she doesn't want to be stopped and everything. So we do other activities than that, you know?
So let me ask you something about this. So was your face tattooed when she was born, or did you get that after the fact?
Yeah, it was later, way later. So she saw the whole process.
Got it. Yeah. And how does she feel about that? It's just you're her dad. That's just the way it is.
Like, I'm the crazy dad, you know? I mean, we definitely have fun, but she just doesn't like the attention. She doesn't want all that stuff. So I definitely understand, you know, I like it. This is who I am, you know, and if I'm not going to force anything on her, if she doesn't want to like go out into like crowds or anything, I'm not going to force it. Like, I mean, yeah, she's a teenager, you know, but we definitely hang out with family a lot, you know.
That's good. Do you ever feel like, I'm going to ask you this too. Do you ever feel like people judge you? Obviously, like, oh, look at this guy, he's tattooed. And then when they start talking to you and they look in your eyes, they're like, oh, this dude's cool.
Yeah, it happens all the
time. I get that all the time. I do. I get it all the time. You know, it's like I think the first thing is like, whoa. And then they realize, like, if your personality and like your demeanor of who you are, people actually see past that. If they just look into someone's eyes, they could see. You know what I mean?
The soul, brother, you know?
So yeah.
When you see guys, you know, like, how they are. You can see, like, is it sparkling? Is it good? Is it, you know, is there evil in there? You can see, man. Have you seen, like, people's eyes? Like, photos? Like,
oh, yeah.
Serial killers, man. They look.
you're saying bad people.
Like, you can see with somebody's eyes, like, how they are.
Oh, yeah. You could see condescending. Yeah. You could see arrogance. You could see. Self-doubt, you could see confidence, you could see like someone that's pleasant or like comforting. It's all through the eyes, man. This guy last night, actually, I was doing comedy and I came out of the stall in the bathroom and he stared at me like and I didn't have my hat on, you know, and I kind of like thought, okay, and then he kept just staring at me and I was like, you good? And he didn't say anything. He just went into the stall. And I was just like, it was like, I could see in his eyes, like he was like, not confused, but kind of almost kind of like a kind of look at this guy arrogant kind of way towards me, you know? And I was like, whatever, dude. And I get that sometimes. And then when I start talking to someone, the first sentence, we're good. You know what I mean?
That's amazing. That's awesome. That's the gift that you got. I mean, cause you've been doing this for years. You know how to talk to people. You know how to, you know, right away if they're this or that, or they don't like you, you know,
like, yeah.
So, and you definitely break the ice when you talk to
people. Do you ever get that? Do you ever people like vibe you, look at you and they're like, and they're like, kind of, you see them you feel that energy tense up. And then once you start talking to them, they're like, oh, this dude's kind of interesting. This dude's
cool. I don't pressure anything beyond anybody, you know. If someone doesn't like, I don't know, then I'm gonna walk away. I'd rather walk away. But if you want to talk, let's talk, you know. If you're mean, away, you know. But it's just like with anything, I'm gonna be nice, you're nice, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, well, hey, that's the way it is. And you're right, the eyes are the lamp to the soul, dude.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely is.
Okay, well, cool, bro. Well, check it out, dude. I've had a great time on this interview. I like to keep it right around an hour, and that's right where we're at. And yes, check this out, dude. What is your right now? Can you drop all your social media and your band and everything you're doing?
It's just right Richie, now, so people. It's just Richie the Barber. Everything: YouTube, Richie the Barber; Instagram, Richie the Barber; TikTok, Richie the Barber; my band's Richie the Barber, RICHIE the Barber.
Wait, there's one more thing we didn't talk about. You cut hair.
Yeah.
You do more shit than I do, bro. What's going on? Hey, anyone out there, you know, you need to get your hair cut, right?
Yeah.
You cut hair a lot? Is that your deal? Do that quite a bit, or is that just like every now and then?
Well, right now, I was like, I can't hold a shop. I'm so busy because I just do house calls. I just do like, you know, I go to LA a lot, you know. I'm just pretty much on call a lot, you know.
That's
like,
cool.
Yeah, like I cut Steve-O a lot. He's like my main guy. I cut all his people. I go out there. So it's just house calls right now. You know, travel.
I still had hair, bro. I still had hair.
Yo, we can do a video where I straight razor it.
There you go. Hey, yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. For sure.
I'll just do it, man. We'll just do it. Whatever you want, man.
Awesome. Well, dude, I've had a pleasure talking to you. You're awesome. Everybody out there, follow you. Richie the Barber. That's it.
Dude, Rick, I love you, man. Thank you so much, man.
All right, stay rad. Have a great day.
Yeah.